This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. This week's Project Milwaukee Help Wanted series has been looking at the so-called skills gap in Wisconsin, the divide between unemployed and underemployed workers, and the jobs that exist but go unfilled. Nowhere in Wisconsin is the employment issue greater than in Milwaukee's Central City, where the number of employed residents dropped by half between 1970 and 2000, and where unemployment rates currently dwarf those found in the surrounding areas. It's an issue that UW-Milwaukee's Center for Economic Development has tracked closely. Mark Levine is Senior Fellow and Founding Director of the Center. He's the author of a forthcoming report on the skills gap as it's manifested in Milwaukee's Central City. Levine believes some key issues have been missing from the prevailing conversation about the skills gap in the public arena.
Well, I guess I could be a smart aleck about it and say the big thing that's been missing is evidence because the rhetoric around the skills gap, I think, has been exaggerated, inflated. And we're really lacking a lot of the data to really answer the question about whether, in fact, there is a skills gap. Let me give a bit of actually historical perspective on this. This is not a new argument. This is not a new incisive piece of analysis that says somehow, you know, now we've finally figured out what the real problem is with employment in the American economy, and that is that we have a skills gap. This has been an argument that CEOs and some politicians have been putting out there for 30, 35 years now. Elizabeth Dole, who was the Secretary of Labor in the late 1980s, issued a statement, you know, essentially to that effect, very much along the same lines as what we're hearing now, for example, from the Sullivan Report in Wisconsin, that again, workers are going to be retiring soon and we're not going to have the skills to replace them, and there are lots of jobs going wanting because we don't have the skills. You may remember that what happened in the decade right after all of those claims that we had this incredible skill shortage were out there was that we had 23 million jobs created in the 1990s. Since the arguments about the skills shortage, we've had a continuous pattern of job growth. And so I think we need to put into some perspective that this has always been Larry Michel of the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, I thought, nicely framed it. This has been a very comfortable argument to make for the comfortable class. That is, rather than look at the larger questions about why our economy isn't growing rapidly enough, rather than look at the larger questions about why we're not creating enough jobs in economies across the country, nationally and locally, we put the blame on an alleged deficit in skills that's out there. Now, in the recent period, I think, again, we're lacking a lot of evidence that there really is any kind of a skills gap that can explain some of the employment difficulties that we have. And I'll just throw out a couple of very, very quick points on that. One is that we have, in the United States as a whole and in Wisconsin, not so much a skills gap but a jobs gap. That is, we have more unemployed or out of the labor force, discouraged, not even looking workers out there.
These are people who aren't measured in the unemployment rate because they're no longer actively looking.
Right. And they could be anywhere. We're not exactly sure. There's some evidence on it that could be anywhere from another third to 40% added to the number of unemployed. But even if we take a conservative measure, and that is those who are the officially unemployed, right now there is something in the neighborhood of a 3.5, 4 to 1 gap nationally. The Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers confirm this, between the number of unemployed workers and the number of jobs available. Other surveys such as the Help Wanted online survey that's done by the Conference Board indicates the same thing. And they indicate that almost across the board in every occupation. There are a few sectors where it's clear there probably is some kind of a shortage, computer and math jobs, nursing and some healthcare jobs as well. But some of the jobs, for example, that we're talking about in Wisconsin, like welders jobs, for example, there is zero evidence that there is, in fact, a widespread shortage on that. And I think the second point to make with regard to particularly the current situation is that you have to remember in the early part of 2007, we had a national unemployment rate of 4.4%. It rose to 10% in October of 2009. So for those who argue that there's a skills gap and that that's the reason that unemployment has been climbing and that's the reason unemployment is so consistently high, you have to make the argument that somehow in the span of 2 years, all of the skills of the American labor force, people who were employed gainfully earlier, welders, for example. I'll take that example, who had a 5% unemployment rate in 2006 and then rose to 20% unemployed in 2009 and 2010, all of a sudden lost all their skills. And all of a sudden, all of the employers who were looking for these people couldn't find skilled workers. It's counterintuitive, and in fact, the evidence suggests that it's a fallacious argument.
We hear skills gap used almost as a shorthand term. Do you think it's nefarious use of a shorthand term, or it's just lazy?
A little bit of both, I think. It's certainly lazy. It's certainly unanalytical. It certainly doesn't look at the labor market the way economists would look at the labor market, looking at unemployment rates, wage rates, looking at the gap between help wanted or job availability indicators and the actual number of people looking for work. But I also do think, if nefarious may be a little too strong of a word, but I think there's a self-interested dimension to this. And again, I'll take the Sullivan report. Look at the things that are missing from that report in its explanation of why Wisconsin faces an employment crisis. You can look long and hard through that report and not find a single major – I don't think I can even find a sentence, let alone any major section – that deals with employer behavior, employer actions. And so there's no analysis of employer practices in terms of filling these jobs. And moreover, there's no analysis of the role of corporate decision-making generally in terms of job creation, investment decisions, decisions to offshore as opposed to invest in the local labor force, for example, in various communities. Rob Atkinson, a D.C. policy analyst at the Progressive Policy Institute, has just done a really interesting analysis of the state of American manufacturing. And he found kind of two rather disturbing aspects. One, that we're leading virtually. I think the U.K. Was worse than us. But of all the advanced industrial countries, we've experienced the greatest loss in manufacturing jobs since the late 1990s. About 45% of our manufacturing has declined. And that's, of course, on top of earlier decades of decline. But the other interesting thing that he found is that U.S. manufacturers have underinvested in manufacturing. That, for example, compared to Germany, we invested during this period, our manufacturers invested 65% less in upgrading their plants domestically. And to the extent that they're investing more in modernizing plants, offshoring their plants in China, their plants in Mexico and the like. And so I think one of the nefarious aspects of this emphasis on the skills gap is that it puts the onus on an alleged skills deficit that might be out there for explaining why we have slow job growth, as opposed to looking at the whole gamut of policy issues and behaviors. So the gamut including corporate investment decisions, the manner in which employers actually go about hiring, and of course the larger issue of U.S. macroeconomic policy and what kind of public investments we're making, for example, to create jobs. And so I think it distracts our attention from what the real nature is of our job creation crisis.
You were in the midst of preparing a study on the skills gap, especially I believe as it pertains to inner city economics. So what is your research looking at specifically?
Well, we're looking at the extent to which there is any evidence, in fact, out there that there is a skills gap. This is the part where I would certainly want to add that while I think the skills gap argument is inflated, exaggerated, and that there are self-interested reasons for promoting it, it's not completely irrelevant either, that skills are certainly part of the employment and job creation picture, and that in investment in training and investment in education are certainly part of what has to be a multifaceted job creation strategy in this state and indeed across the country. But what this particular study is looking at is the extent to which basically we can find evidence, any evidence of what constitutes a skill gap. And so we've looked at a couple of occupations and tried to sort of zero in on what the indicators would be. We've looked at some depth at Tim Sullivan's favorite one, the welders, which I think in some ways was the linchpin for this entire argument in the state about the skills gap. And not to completely telegraph the report, but we found very little evidence that the arguments that were made about a welding shortage in Wisconsin really held water. And then in the report as well, analyze some of the policy implications of that analysis as well as what we think really needs to be done to boost employment, not only in the central city in Milwaukee, but indeed across the city and frankly across the state.
At the same time, it doesn't seem difficult to believe that when we're talking about the manufacturing sector, there's a lot of discussion about the sort of modern manufacturing job, which is a more highly skilled version of manufacturing than once existed. It's not impossible to believe that, you know, a significant number of the people who have been without jobs for some time in the inner city might be lacking in those highly skilled jobs.
Well, it's unclear because the argument to be sustained would have to be sort of twofold. One, that these changes have been incredibly dramatic and incredibly fast. That is basically, you know, the nature of if you've been out of work as a welder for 3 years, man, you've just lost all your skills. And I don't think there's any evidence to suggest that's really going on. There has obviously been upgrading in manufacturing facilities, greater automation, robotization, and the like, and there are, you know, certain sort of quantitative requirements that are certainly out there more than, say, in the 1970s. But it's, again, unclear that with a proper amount of training that is currently already online, that already exists, that doesn't require, for example, some of the more radical proposals that are in the Sullivan report, like, you know, really restructuring, for example, the UW system and stuff that I don't think is at all relevant to the issue of you know, the particular issue of job creation at the level that the Sullivan report was talking about. It's not at all clear to me, as we've done the analysis, that we don't already have the tools in place through our education system, through training institutions. There's just not a lot of evidence that we've had a dramatic failure in Wisconsin in our training or education to prepare workers for those jobs. Does that mean that there won't be at various points bottlenecks in which an employer can't get employees for a project? Well, in any place when you have a specific project that sort of all of a sudden comes on board and all of a sudden you need a large infusion, more than the usual annual infusion of workers, well, yeah, you're going to have a bottleneck. You're going to have a shortage. But those things obviously will work out over time. And if we look, for example, nationally, you know, we see that the states that actually do have a shortage of welders, like North Dakota, Louisiana, Wyoming, what do they all have in common? Major oil, energy project, infrastructure investments that create clearly a tight labor market. And it's no accident, for example, the wages are going through the roof for welders there where they're not in Wisconsin, which is another indicator that we don't really have a shortage.
So when we talk about the need for workforce development in the inner city, what is the development that we really need to be talking about?
Well, I think what we need is, as I said, it's got to be part of the overall package. It's I view workforce development as a necessary but not sufficient condition for job creation. That is to say, we can't have what Robert Kuttner used to call the field of dreams approach. You know, if we train them, they will come. Jobs will come. It doesn't work that way. Training in and of itself will not be a supply-side solution to our employment crisis. We need ways to increase the demand for labor in inner city areas. But in terms of workforce development, you know, we clearly obviously need continued investment in the programs that have had some success in matching employer needs to the availability of workers who haven't had jobs, and there I, you know, go back to organizations that I think have done very important work. I think unions need to be kind of revalorized in this process to be part of what used to be a very important role that unions played in being, you know, sort of sources of apprenticeship training and identifying, again, you know, available workers and making sure that they get trained for the jobs that are available. And then, of course, I think we need to kind of invest in you know, one of the nation's best vocational preparation institutions, and that is you know, Milwaukee Area Technical College, and making sure that our technical colleges are aligned, obviously, you know, with employers.
Mark Levine, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Mitch. It's a pleasure.
Mark Levine is Senior Fellow and Founding Director of the Center for Economic Development at UW-Milwaukee. He also teaches in the History and Urban Studies departments at UWM. He is the author of a report due to be released in the next several weeks on the skills gap and inner city Milwaukee. He spoke with Mitch Teich. Coming up next, we'll learn about an upcoming community-wide summit seeking to build consensus and to connect jobless Milwaukeeans with work. Project Milwaukee continues on Lake Effect right after this.